again to Epilogue, Press TV's review programme, where we look at books that probe the most controversial issues in world affairs and try to get answers to FAQs, frequently asked questions. I'm Martin Short, and today here in London, we're reviewing Foreign Agents by Grant Smith, an investigation into the activities of AIPAC, that's the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Grant joins us now from Washington, D.C., from the think tank he works at, the Institute for Research Middle East Policy. Hello, Grant.
Hello, Martin. Thank you very much.
Right, now we move on to our guests here in the studio. First, we have Abe Haim, an architect who is also politically involved, notably as a member of Architects and Planners for Justice in Palestine. Born in Bombay, he has lived in London since the 1960s. Also here is my Press TV colleague, Tim Llewellyn, a distinguished journalist who for many years was the BBC's Middle East correspondent. First, let's hear from you, Grant. Sorry we can't see you, but we have the picture you sent us. It looks as if you're ready for a fight. But anyway, just tell us exactly what AIPAC stands for, because we have to assume that our viewers know absolutely nothing about AIPAC.
Sure. I think the most important thing to understand about AIPAC is that it's a now 60,000 member organization that's widely thought to be the most powerful lobby in Congress. What few people know, however, and what we've attempted to do with this book is uncover the genesis of the organization from a time in the late 50s and early 60s when AIPAC was being set up with a great deal of foreign money funneled into the United States and direction from various entities and people in Israel. The Israel Lobby, as it's called, is a wider amalgamation of organizations like AIPAC. And what we've attempted to do in this book is reveal some of the clashes that have taken place between AIPAC and different groups, and in particular drill down into some of the areas where operatives and individuals in the organization have come into conflict with U.S. laws, whether it has to do with espionage, the need to register foreign lobbies and disclose their monies and activities in Washington, the Logan Act, which is a prohibition on lobbying foreign governments from non-accredited U.S. individuals, and election laws, which require any organization that's a nonprofit to disclose and in many cases prohibits them from actually lobbying for or against individual candidates. So all of these are themes that we look at in the book Foreign Agents.
Well, that's splendid, and that's a very, dense and learned explanation. I don't quite at the moment understand why you would need to import money to support Israel in America. I would have thought there are plenty enough people who could have paid for it directly, but I'm talking about the origin. But look, Abe, what did you think of this book? Because you've read it.
Yes, well, I've read most of it, let's say, to be honest, but what really hits one, first of all, is the utter unscrupulousness, the lack of scruples of this whole lobby, and the intermingling with the American, with the State Department, and the fact that, like a spoiled child, I mean, Israel has actually been nurtured by the United States, and what is happening now is that it seems that it feels an almost total impunity, which leads it into the violations of U.S. law and espionage that Grant Smith talks about. And although it's quite a dry book, it makes very gripping reading because it is quite shocking in what it reveals. And the lack of limitation or discipline, that for AIPAC.
Tim, I have have to ask you this fairly standard question, which is, what's the difference between AIPAC and lobbies such as the gun lobby, the anti-abortion lobby?
Well, I think that's very easily answered, actually.
The tobacco lobby, the military-industrial complex?
Yeah, well, as this book makes absolutely clear right from the beginning, the AIPAC and all the other, and the other pro-Israel lobbies are financed by a foreign government whose interests are not necessarily in line with those of the United States. So this is a foreign agency. And one of the key things that Grant Smith writes about in this book is how clever, how devious AIPAC have been by not having to register as agencies of a foreign power, whatever it is. There's an outfit called FARA, which, if you're an agent of a foreign power, you have to be registered with to show that you are an agent of a foreign power. AIPAC appears to be a domestic lobby, whereas what it really is a lobby for a foreign power, and a very effective one at that.
Can I just get this straight, Grant? I've got a little mental problem here. This money is coming in from a foreign government, which I assume is Israel.
Well, we've got to say that the part where the money was coming in from Israel was part of its formation. It's no longer the case, or at least that we know about, that there's significant funds coming in. The book makes a point of looking, though, at how Cy Kennan, the founder, was an agent for Israel. He actually registered and was on their payroll essentially till about the early 1970s. And you can also see financial flows from quasi-Israeli entities into AIPAC's precursor and to Kennan, which actually allowed them to set up this organization quite quickly. However, now it is largely self-sustaining, but the point being made by Tim is that agency does not require an ongoing financial flow. And what we see now is continual coordination, tight coordination between the Israeli government and AIPAC, which is agency, and this book argues does require foreign agent registration. But what we see in the beginning of the organization is the funding, the startup funding was there, there was a reorganization, and all of the principals of AIPAC dropped their foreign agent registration and began positioning themselves as an American nonprofit following American interests. And that is the cause of the problem.
Well, let me just interject there. I got to restate for the benefit of our viewers that what we're talking about is a lobby which acts in favor of Israel, Israeli interests. It will make sure that America defends egregious acts by Israel in the Middle East, and generally is supportive of Israel. And I assume one of the basis of your argument is that you feel this is not in the interests of the United States. And just to show how AIPAC and its allied lobbying organizations on behalf of Israel, the power that they have, I'd like now to play a piece from an interview given by former President Jimmy Carter, talking about his recent book, Peace Not Apartheid, and the obstacles to open discussion inside Israel of issues affecting Israel.
This has protected AIPAC from press and regulatory scrutiny.
Sorry, this is the wrong piece. Sorry, I thought it. Sorry, we just got a slight hold up here.
There's no doubt now that in the occupied territories, a minority of Israelis is choosing to have land instead of peace. And in the acquisition of that land deep within Palestinian territory, they have established not only settlements, more than 200 of them, but they connect the settlements with highways. And the Palestinians are excluded from the use of many of those highways and not permitted even to cross the highways. So there is, in many ways, a much more serious deprivation of human rights among the Palestinians because of this ill-advised policy than even there was in South Africa. The title is designed to provoke discussion, debate, analysis, which is almost completely absent in my country. There's practically no debate or discussion of any subject that might bring criticism on any policy of the Israeli government. And I saw this as a major obstacle to the promotion of peace.
For writing his book, Jimmy Carter has come under a ferocious onslaught of abuse from Israel's supporters in the United States of America. The message appears to have got home to almost every presidential candidate today, whether Republican or Democrat. Indeed, the Democrats appear to be even more committed to Israel, notably the front runners Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama.
I respect all of my colleagues on this stage.
The American people are looking for right now is straight answers to tough.
They're not attacking me because I'm a woman. They're attacking me because I'm a head.
Now, both of those candidates, they weren't talking about Israel there, but both of them have paid their obeisance to AIPAC, and they have indeed committed themselves to even more fervent support, at least as fervent support as President Bush and this government. Abe, what do you think about that? The way in which American candidates appear to be cowed and bullied into supporting Israel, or is it just that they genuinely believe that Israel is akin to America?
Well, I think, of course, they're terrified of criticizing Israel. In fact, it's one of the qualifications for anyone standing for elections, and this has been seen in the past in some of the congressional elections, that anyone who expressed any kind of support for the Palestinians or criticized Israel was bombarded with such character assassination that that person was not able to get elected to Congress. So every presidential candidate willy-nilly has to express extreme support for Israel. And I think Giuliani, for instance, they've said that if, God forbid, he's elected as a president, you know, he's going to make President Bush look like a Boy Scout in the extent that he is going to support Israel and push for being even more militant against other countries like Iran, for instance.
Yeah, Jim, I mean, I want to say one of the points that Grant makes in his book, of course, is that the reason the Israel lobby can function with impunity in the United States is that anybody who tries to oppose it is knocked over by a furious onslaught of bile and money. I mean, this happened to Senator Charles Percy in the mid-1980s, who was a very respected chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. It happened to Paul Findley, famously a congressman from Illinois, in the early 80s, and it's happened since to many other conferences. So people now don't bother to take the chance, and they do not, in general, say anything that would go against Israel. And it's a terrible suborning of the American political system, and it means, in effect, that Israel controls American foreign policy by these means. It's
and
very frightening.
And they were even able to knock out a black congresswoman
yes.
Since McKinney. From Atlanta, and I don't think she had a single Jewish constituent because she represented an entirely black seat, I believe, but she lost her seat thereafter. What do you want to say, Grant?
Well, yeah, the the analysis is exactly right on, and we go into depth not only about some of the other candidates, but we talk about Goland, who is an AIPAC director, and how they fixed the California Senate race in favor of Alan Cranston through a spoiler strategy. And our main point on election law is that election law enforcement in the United States is so stunningly weak that it doesn't take very much tipping or PAC coordination or other illegal maneuvers to make a great difference in key districts. And U.S. politicians are aware of that. And that's the whole point of the book. The book talks about four different laws which, if properly enforced, would fundamentally change U.S. policy. We view this as largely, in some respects, a law enforcement failure. But when politicians such as Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton or others look around and see how weak the Federal Elections Commission and the enforcement of election law is, they've chosen as politicians to knuckle under as opposed to in any way challenge fundamentally and even fatally flawed policies.
Grant, I must cut in on you there because I want to quote from your book. It said that America is the land of the free, and freedom can only come, I would think, with transparency, openness, and a lack of secrecy, whereas much of AIPAC's power comes from its intense secrecy about its own leaders, membership, and indeed where its funds come from. And this is a quote from Grant's book, which makes exactly clear what this is all about.
Throughout most of its history, AIPAC has been able to scoff at meaningful public disclosure while erecting an almost total veil of operational security. This has protected AIPAC from press and regulatory scrutiny, as its directors and operatives work behind the scenes during elections and lobby for policies against the US national interest. Since its founding, AIPAC has labored mightily and spared no expense to keep the identity of its donors secret, even when found to be acting as a political action committee, which by law is required to disclose donor names and contributions. Because of AIPAC's power, potential new sources and leakers are reluctant to discuss AIPAC on the record. Employees who leave AIPAC usually sign pledges of silence. AIPAC officials rarely give interviews, and the organization has historically refused to even divulge the names of its board of directors.
Right.
I'd be grateful if you could, as simply as possible, explain the major legal case that's going on at the moment in the United States involving AIPAC.
Right. Well, two AIPAC lobbyists at the very peak of the organization, Rosen and Weissman, were indicted in 2005 under an espionage law from 1917 that prohibits the trafficking in classified information or national defense information to those who are not entitled to have it. The government, after a multi-year investigation, which the FBI was wiretapping and following AIPAC, settled on the indictment of Rosen and Weissman and also Colonel Lawrence Franklin, who is in Undersecretary of Defense for Policy Douglas Feith's office, for leaking and trafficking in classified information. In Washington, this is a case that threatens the mainstream media as recipients of the purloined information. It threatens the Bush administration, which has multi-level contacts with AIPAC and has benefited from its lobbying on the Hill. Obviously, it threatens AIPAC since it's yet another case where it may possibly be tried and actually held to account for some of its actions. It threatens the Washington, D.C. policymaking community, which would prefer a situation in which information can be trafficked, and in particular, the effort to confront militarily Iran can be sold without having to expose some of these types of actions. So essentially, we'll see whether this actually goes to trial. For the time being, Lawrence Franklin has been sentenced to 10 years, although he hasn't gone to prison yet. And we may see in the beginning, the first quarter of next year, whether this actually goes to trial after a couple of years of maneuvers by the AIPAC defendant's legal team.
Grant, I've got to come in on you there because we haven't got long left. What did you make of that section of the book?
Well, again, it's the whole aim is to obfuscate and to divert, and it actually reflects a lot of the secrecy that exists within the intelligence network within Israel, Mossad and Shin Bet. Everything is operated in secrecy. And this actually was quite evident in the Lebanon War, where it was evident that the state, the United States, was actually behind the continuation of the war, which AIPAC was insisting on. It was insisting on Israel continuing the war, which resulted in so many more deaths. And it kind of is evident of the almost, you know, the stranglehold that AIPAC has in many areas, possibly, you know, sort of knowing things about Bush, you know, that, you know, Bush is scared of, and, you know, and there have been recent scandals as well. So the whole thing is a whole kind of network. It's a nightmarish network that is very, you know, is brilliantly actually revealed in this book. That's why I think, although it's going to be condemned as an anti-Semitic book and criticism of Israel, it is actually a valuable book that will, you know, open up the discussion because of its evidence that it produces.
I'd like to make two quick points.
That's all you've got time for.
A news item, which I didn't know. The leader of the team, the U.S. Treasury team, that's trying to stop international financial institutions dealing with Iran.
With Iran. Yeah.
Now, the leader of the team putting pressure on Britain, putting pressure on France, putting pressure on everybody, is a man called Stuart Levy, who is a member of the Washington Institute of Near East Policy, which is a think tank which is financed and practically owned and set up by AIPAC. So you have a leading Zionist lobbyist leading the U.S. Treasury's attack on Iran.
And that's all we got time for from you, and indeed from everybody else. We've been talking about Foreign Agents by Grant Smith, which is published by the Institute for Research Middle East Policy in Washington, D.C. My thanks to Grant Smith over there. Are you okay then, Grant? How did you feel that went?
I thank you very much for having me, Martin.
All right, and my thanks also to Abe Haim and Tim Llewellyn over here. We'll be back soon with another edition of Epilogue, but we're always keen to hear what books you'd like us to review. Please email your suggestions at epilogue@presstv.co.uk. That's epilogue@presstv.co.uk. Thank you for watching.